The Jaguars will be better in 2022, but is better good enough? I'll tell you in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars.
You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, folks? It's Tony Wiggins here with Locked On Jaguars, your daily podcast where it's your team every day. And we thank you for making us your first listen here on Locked On Jaguars. As a reminder, we are free on all platforms. Wherever you get your podcast, make sure you like and subscribe. We'll talk about these Jags getting better. I'm qualified to do that because I've been covering this team for 13 years professionally. But ever since they got here, in 1995, when they were awarded the team, I've been covering this team and I've watched them basically wet the bed for most of that time. So improvement is something that we're always looking for. I'm looking for sustained improvement and sustained success, something that's going to keep this franchise moving in a positive direction for a long time. It was once upon a time the Patriots weren't very good, and they had a season here or a season there with Tony Eason in 86 before they got whipsawed in the Super Bowl by the Bears. And then some time went by where they weren't very good again. And now there are kids that's probably 25 years old that don't remember when the Patriots weren't a good football team. Signs maybe the last, not last year, but the year before last. But you know what I mean. You just want the team to get to the point finally where they're very good. So I'll discuss that. I'll discuss how Jaguar fans will be satisfied with baby steps, but the team can't be satisfied with those steps. You've heard me say that before. I'll tell you if good is going to be good enough and how long that's going to last, because in segment two, I'm going to tell you that it won't last very long, because what happens is when you give a fan base a taste of anything, they seem to think that they need more. They want more. And finally, in segment three, what we're going to do is I'm going to tell you the one thing that is absolutely needed for these Jacksonville Jaguars to actually have that sustained success that I'm talking about. And it's not all about Trevor Lawrence, but it has a lot to do with Trevor Lawrence. So we're going to bag all that up and we're going to drop it in this seafood boil and make us a nice, nice Southern seafood boil. It's going to taste so good. We got a little bit of everything in it today. We got some corn, got some crab, got some shrimp, all of that stuff. We're going to make it sound good, but let's get to the top of it. Better. Yeah, they're going to get better. They'll be better. You'll see it because the coach is better, because the direction is better, because the athleticism of the team is better, because collectively, all of these guys, they seem like, you know, they're one and the same in terms of their athletic profile. So from that point, they're going to be better. The big question is, how much better? And what does it mean in the standings? Well, I said previously, I believe that the way that they're constructed, the fact that they have a better coach, they'll be better prepared, and they're going to actually learn. Look, man, I had a player come into my office and sit here and tell me this. It is night and day between this year and last year. It is night and day between. They're teaching us not just how to lift weights and run, but they're teaching us football concepts. I don't know if you guys get that or not, but they're teaching us football concepts, meaning we're understanding the game and not just out there running around playing the game. They're not coming in and coaches basically drawing plays up on the board and say, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. And it's something they never, ever practiced. They're organized to the point where the things that they're practicing and the things that they're learning are going to be things that they build upon, and they're the foundation for all of the stuff they're going to eventually run. I don't know when they're going to have the whole playbook. I don't think a good team ever has its total playbook, but everything's always connected. That's the only way you get an identity. That's the only way you actually learn how to play the game. And that's the only way you know that you're prepared from week to week. So yeah, the Jaguars will be better. Is that good enough for this year? Improvement, improving in the standings. And mind you, I told you, I'm not going to put a lid on anything. I'm not putting them in a box. I'm not saying that, look, man, we'll settle for 7-10, even though I know there are Jaguar fans that would do cartwheels over here in Riverside, where I am right now, all up and down Market Street and Oak Street and Post Street, if I told them that this team was going to go 7-10, because that would mean they're really, really competitive. It also means that they're probably going to have four or five other games where they're going to be that close to winning. And then that optimism, you'll be able to say, dang, they were this close to 11-6. We just need a little bit more. I get it. I get it after being bad for so long that's the thought process, and that's how folks are going to want to react. I understand. But at some point, that won't be good enough for you. If you're greedy like I think you are, and if you're a fan like I believe you are, and if we're just as tuned in to our team as other teams, let me give you a perfect example. If the Kansas City Chiefs go 10-7 this year, that would be that would be so much of a disappointment. It'd be the ultimate disappointment. You'd have people calling for Andy Reid's head. It's the way it goes. Nick Saban loses two games at Alabama, he's washed up. I remember a couple of years ago, folks were saying Saban was going to never win another championship. And I think he's won two since then. And he played for another one last year. And he's favored to win one this year again. So the thing is you lose a little bit when you're a traditional team that everyone believes is going to win all the time, and people write you off. It's the total opposite here. The Jaguars are so used to losing that if they have a little bit of a picture of a bright future, folks will take that and run with it like they were Florence Griffin Jr. I'm telling you, man, Flojo couldn't run as fast as the Jaguars would run if you slap a baton that has a 7-10 season in their hand. So, yeah, they're going to be improved, and they're going to probably be improved to the satisfaction of their fan base. The thing that we have to wonder is we always look at the teams they're trying to catch. We look at the Tennessee Titans, right? And we say that's the team because that's the team in the division that has run the division pretty much for the last 6-7 years. And we always look at that team, well, the last 3 or 4 years since, well, 2 or 3 years or whatever, since Houston decided that they wanted to trade everybody. But the point is you always look at those teams that are winning or that are sitting at the top of the food chain, especially in your own conference. What we fail to look at most of the time that is also a factor in how fast this team will get on track are the other teams that are in the same position that you are that believe they've improved, a la the New York Jets, who the Jaguars actually lost to last year, Houston, who's in your own division, and they're starting anew with a new coach this year for the second time in 2 years with a young quarterback. But you got to think they beat you twice last year when most people probably thought the Jaguars were more talented. That's because the Jaguars had an awful coach. You look at those teams, and Houston had a really good draft. You look at the Jets. The Jets stacked another draft right on top of the one they had last year that was pretty good. We all seem to think that the question has come up in a lot of podcasts. I've done it 2 or 3 times. Who can have a Bengals-type turnaround? Can it be the Jags? Can they go from worst to first? We have a tendency to seem to forget about those middle-of-the-road teams that are also pretty good but have been bad enough to pick where they can get really good players, a la the Chargers, a la the Browns, who were pretty decent. Now they're going to add a franchise quarterback, like them or not. Those type of things, a la the Raiders, who actually made the playoffs last year, and now they got new blood and a new coaching staff. A la Denver, who did not make the playoffs, but they add Russell Wilson, and they got healthy with some guys that were out last year, and they had a rookie class last year that was very, very good also. We have a tendency to forget about the Dolphins, who missed the playoffs after making the playoffs the year before, and then they added all of these weapons. We have a tendency to forget about those types of clubs that are sitting there. They've been chomping at the bit, and they've been waiting to get a little bit better and make that jump. But we have, we sit and forget about. We forget about Pittsburgh. As much as I love Ben Roethlisberger's career, he was probably stayed a little bit too long. You know what I mean? He hung around a little bit too long. And now they got a rookie who they like, who may be able to pitch and catch and throw the ball around the way Ben wasn't. And they improved their offensive line, and they still have good players on defense. So we forget that there's a lot of teams for the Jaguars to go through. I'm going to talk more about what the Jaguars have to do in order to cut through those teams and not look too much towards those teams at the top. I'll give you an example of a team that did that exact same thing. And we'll do all of that here on Locked On Jaguars after I tell you guys about Built Bar. You know I love me some Built Bar. Built Bar sent me a package in the mail the other day, and it is delicious. It is so good. That's the coconut brownie chunk puff. That's right. Coconut brownie chunk puff. All of that. It is so good, man. It'll make you slap somebody. It is a coconut-infused marshmallow that also is protein-infused also. And it's covered in 100% real chocolate, and it's like the fluffy cloud of coconut brownie goodness. Don't y'all like how that sounds? You can still get the standard Built Bars, too. I won't say standard because they're not. But what they are is the traditional Built Bar, the one you have grown to love. Me, it's the salted caramel. It's also low sugar, low carb, high protein, low calorie, and it's also covered in 100% chocolate. Two products, same great goodness, a little different texture on both. You can get them at built.com, man. You got to use the promo code LOCKED15, and you're going to get 15% off your order. Now, salted caramel is my thing. I love salted caramel, but that coconut brownie chunk, I have to admit, is pretty good. So go to built.com. LOCKED15 is your promo code. Find out the one you like. Get an assorted box if you want to. Try them all. And send me your order and what you did on Twitter and tell me how you like those Built Bars. I know you're going to love them because I love them. All right, man, we're rolling along here on Locked On Jaguars. You guys really make us your first team and your first listen every single day. We are absolutely happy that you do that. Now, make your second listen to Locked On NFL podcast. Our national NFL experts, yours truly is one of them. Insiders, we keep the fans dialed in with the biggest stories and the latest news from around the league because an offseason doesn't equal a break in the action. Hey, there hasn't been a lot of break in the action in the NFL, quarterbacks getting all kinds of money. Kyler Murray just got paid with about $160 million guaranteed and about $230. And Deshaun Watson, we know, got his big deal. Buffalo, it looks like they got a deal now with Josh Allen. But Buffalo is a team that I want to talk about a little bit with the Jaguars because Buffalo did not do it the way that Cincinnati did it, like this one-year jump. And I'm not poo-pooing the efforts of the Bengals, but I will tell you this. They were competing. Joe Burrow got hurt. He had a real gruesome injury. The offensive line was in shambles. They picked fifth in the draft the year after that, which was last year. And even though they got Ja'Marr Chase, nobody expected all of these things to come together. One, they're worried about the health of Burrow. Burrow showed you that he was Joe Burrow and it wasn't nothing going to change. After a slow start, Ja'Marr Chase became one of the five best wide receivers in the league. T. Higgins shows up now and looks like he's not a number two. He's a 1B option for them. Then the defense started playing well, and Joe Mixon is Joe Mixon. So they paid their dues. But because of Burrow's injury, I think people thought they were really going to fall off. So when we talk about them being just a team that just totally switched it around, I think that narrative really doesn't come from them making the playoffs. I think that comes from the fact that they went to Kansas City and won, and they went to the Super Bowl, and they almost won it. That's the part that is like really, really what I call OTT, over the top, when it comes to expectations. So people will think that that's the road that everyone will have a shot at going after. I think it's an anomaly. I don't think that's going to happen that way. But what I do think is when you look at the Buffalo Bills and how they were able to year after year close the gap as their quarterback improved, I think it's more realistic. And that's what I mean when I say Jaguar fans will be happy with just these climbs as long as they know, just like remember when Price is Right, when that little man was running up the mountain, that's what they want to see. You know, the little engines that could. You want to just keep seeing this ascension going upward if you're a Jaguars fan without putting a lid on the fact that you could probably or may turn out to be this year's version of the Bengals. So some things really have to happen for the Jaguars to do that. Trevor Lawrence, we'll talk about him in segment three, as I promised. He has to do what Josh Allen did, just keep getting better, right? But they have to hope. They have to hope that a lot of the things that they have done over the last 2 years manifest themselves on the field in victories. One of the biggest things they have to hope for is this. They have to hope Trent Baalke is any good at what he does. And a lot of times, over the last year, everyone, including me, thought he wasn't. So has all of that gone away just because it's almost as if, I love these analogies, it's almost as if things appear to be heading in the right direction so much, and now they're all starting to tie together. It's almost like somebody that says something that's not true, but they're very articulate and it sounds smart, so you believe them. That's sort of what my eyes are doing now towards Trent Baalke, because I could have swore that he was a lie. Not a liar, but a lie. I thought he needed to get fired. Everyone else did too. There was a clown movement. People were like, oh no, get him out of there. I didn't hear one person that thought Trent Baalke should have remained here. I didn't hear one person stand up for Trent Baalke, and I didn't hear Shad Khan stand up for him. But what I did see Shad Khan do was show that he was standing up for him by retaining him and never saying a bad thing about him. Everybody and their brother thought that Trent Baalke needed to be out of here. What has he done to change your mind? They haven't played a game since the offseason ended. So are we just believing it because it looks and sounds better? Or is it actually better? If they're not good, no one's blaming Doug Peterson. It's too early. And he has the hardware to show that he knows what he's doing. No one's going to blame Trevor Lawrence. If they're not good, they're going to blame Trent Baalke. And that's going to be the reason that if there's a reason that this thing doesn't quite turn around, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be him. We better hope that they got it right. And what I mean by hope they got it right, we've seen Trevor from last year. We saw a little bit of Andre Sisco. We saw Tyson Campbell. We didn't see enough of Walker Little. And we haven't seen Travis Etienne. So no matter what we think, they're batting like 40% right now on that draft from a year ago. Now, we think it's a little bit higher than that. We think they're in the 80% area at least. But right now, we don't know. Free agency-wise, we don't know from last year. This year, we don't know. See, so all of this goodwill that we've been giving away, nothing has really changed outside of the hiring of Doug Peterson and his staff. Nothing has changed. We haven't seen any evidence on the field that it's gotten better. And that starts and stops with Trent Baalke, because the offseason is his time to shine. And so everything that's happened up to this point has been about decisions that were made by either Trent Baalke or Shad Khan. Do you trust those two that things have actually improved? If I ask you that question on a face value level, you'll say no. No, you don't trust him. Shad has given you a decade of why you shouldn't trust him. And Baalke is Baalke, right? But for some reason, things have changed. Some reason the perception of this team is different. Some of it is the fact that, just like I always said, the optimism of the fans, because of the love they have for the team and because of the desire to have something that is going to be so good in the future, and the hope that it will be. Some of it is just the fact that that's what it is. It's optimism. It's almost like they blinded themselves a little bit, and I'm probably just as guilty of it. You probably blind yourself a little bit with optimism and hope because of your love for the city. Because every conceivable thing that could be done or could have been done from this point has been done by two people you don't trust or you shouldn't trust, or have given you the reason not to trust them. I'm going to tell you the one thing, and it involves Trevor Lawrence, but it's not solely about Trevor Lawrence. It's kind of connected to what I just said. As to why and how the Jaguars' success kind of becomes a little bit dependent on this thing I'm going to mention. I'll tell you, it has something to do with those quarterbacks who signed all that money too. I'll tell you in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. All right, third and final segment. We discussed Jacksonville. Is better good enough? Is improvement good enough? How much is it going to be good, right? And then I mentioned all these quarterbacks signed for all this money. And then I mentioned Trent Baalke and the decisions he's made since the end of last year. They haven't played one down, right? And then I mentioned Shai Khan and the trust. And then I told you that there's one thing that could determine how good this team is. It's Trevor Lawrence, but it's not necessarily his play, because I think his play is going to be just fine. Here's what has to happen. The Chiefs won their Super Bowl when Patrick Mahomes was on a rookie deal. The Bills improved their team while Josh Allen was on a rookie deal. Last year was Patrick Mahomes' first year playing with a new contract. This year, Josh Allen's extension kicks in. What does that have to do with the price of tea in China? I'm going to tell you right now. Whatever determines, what would determine whether or not the Jaguars do well moving forward is not just the play of Trevor Lawrence. It's what the Jaguars are able to do while Trevor Lawrence is on his rookie deal. They got about three more years. They got this season and maybe two more before he is signed to an extension. Once he's signed to an extension, he's going to eat a lot of money up on the cap, and it's going to make things very difficult for the Jaguars. If you can't, let me give you an example. If with all the salary cap in the world and two straight years of consecutive number one picks, and that means you're picking early in every round, and 2 years where you had extra first round picks because of you moving on from Jalen Ramsey, years where you had extra round picks because of moving on from Jalen Ramsey in the third round and CJ Henderson, in years where you basically had an empty shopping cart and a Brinks truck, no pun intended, full of money, what did you do? Whatever you did better have been working, because I think they're going to improve enough. Like we said, let's just say it's 7-10. And let's just say that's mostly Doug Peterson and the play of Trevor Lawrence and a few other guys sprinkled in. Well, now, much like 2018, the year after they had some success, when they picked 29th because of how far they went in the playoffs and they took Taven Bryan. These are the mistakes that you can't make. If you can't pick if you can't draft well when you're picking high, you damn sure can't draft well when you're picking low. So, or lower. So they're going to actually be improved enough. I don't think they're picking in the top 10 this year. But how well they pick outside of the top 10, which tells you that the more you move down, the less likely you are to make a good choice, especially when you couldn't make a good choice when you were high. That's why Trevor has to work. That's why Trevon Walker has to work. That's why whoever they get next year has to work. That's why their pro personnel department and their scouting has to work. The guys they picked last year, the guys they chose in free agent, the Christian Kirks of the world, all of that stuff has to work out. Whatever they do in the offseason next year, as they're ascending with less resources, all of that stuff has to work out. Any and everything you do before you have to double down and pay Trevor Lawrence $250,000 or better is going to determine what happens once you pay him $250,000 or better. You get my point? While he's on a rookie deal, the Bills didn't just pop up and turn into a good team last year. The Bills slowly built that up while he was playing through his rookie contract. And in the last year of his rookie deal, or the last year that he had before he got an extension, they showed up. Trevor, the Jaguars have to show up for Trevor Lawrence before that rookie deal gets to the end. So this is year two. You think that rookie year, that rookie deal is going to be reworked, or they're going to extend it probably in year four, even with a fifth-year option, they're going to try to pay him early so that you don't end up paying what the Cardinals did for Arizona, like making Kyler Murray the highest paid, you know, second or third highest paid, and Deshaun Watson. You want to pay these guys a little bit early. Why do I say that? Because both Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, their deals now look like bargains compared to what these other two guys got, right? So what you want is the critical area for the Jaguars is this past offseason, while Trevor was still a rookie, this is the first offseason, and then next year. That's why you see the steady improvement. It might not be everything you want, but what will determine if you get to the top of that mountain are the thing or the development of this year's players. Luke Fortner has to work out. Chad Muma has to work out. Devin Lloyd has to work out. And you know Trevon Walker has to work out. And then what they're able to do in the offseason next year in free agency, the personnel department, that's why I say it all goes back to Trent Baalke. You have to be able to build this team up while Trevor is on a rookie deal, because if he gets to that big contract, it is too late for you to now go back and backtrack and build a team with less resources. I hope I put all that in a nutshell for you. It's a lot. We went around the mulberry bush, but we made it, okay? We got it, and I hope you guys understand exactly what I mean. Now, Bet Online has the top 50 guys who are making moves, the guys who the odds makers believe at Bet Online are in the MVP race. It already started. We started it on Monday on the 18th. Now, if you go where you get your podcast and look at the Locked On NFL, it's on there. It's on there every single day as we count down this list. At some point, you're going to get to a Jaguar, and it'll tie into today's show. All right? Make sure you like and subscribe and follow the Locked On NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and see what the odds makers say about who has a chance to win the MVP. You guys are my MVP. I always say you guys. My man Ross told me, don't tell you, it sounds like you talk. Look, we, y'all, us, we're all here together. We do it every day. You make us your first listen here on Locked On Jaguars. I want y'all to stick to it, man, and start looking at when you're watching the games, watch the game inside of the game. Watch during the preseason. Watch how some of these guys that they picked this year turn out and start developing, because at some point they won't have a bucket load of cash and an empty shopping cart. At some point, these guys have to pan out, and it's all going to be on Trent Baalke if it doesn't. It's on you if you don't come back tomorrow, but you should, because we're going to give you a Friday edition of Locked On Jaguars. Until then, you guys take care of each other. I'm your man, Tony Wiggins, here with Locked On Jaguars. We'll see you next time.